Welcome to the Dead Pair Podcast, energized by KLMO Game Boy US, with your hosts, Jason Rambo and Sean Alley. Coming in hot with the 411 on all things sporting clays, your go-to source for information, education, and entertainment from the new shooter to the seasoned competitor.
Oh, I'm a junkie, man. I want to play with the buttons.
He just likes to throw people under the bus. If you're not used to that yet. That's part of the show.
Does your brain hear what your mouth is saying?
Hey, I'm going to call Dave when the podcast is over and ask him what half the words are.
Let's rapid fire. Let's do the hot seat. Let's get her done.
Often imitated, but never duplicated. And now, it's showtime.
Did you hear that? He said we're coming in hot.
Woo! Yeah! Bring it in hot.
What's up, my large mammal friend, Mr. Large and in Charge?
Man, I tell you what, Mr. Digweed, what can you say?
Oh, man.
27 world championships.
Over 5 decades.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even think you can compare him to like Michael Jordan or Joe Montana. I mean, it's so far above any of that.
You know what me and George Digweed have in common?
I hate to ask.
We both shoot the absolute best shells in the world, the Game Boy White Gold.
Okay.
Other than that, that's where the talent pool stops.
Well, then I can throw my hat in that mix too, but yeah, right. Anything after that.
Other than that, I got nothing I can compare with him. So.
Right, yeah, it's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, right. That guy could fall down and hit his head 15 times until he'll shoot better than me. So.
But no, seriously, I mean, what a freaking accomplishment, man.
Yes.
I mean, seriously. And there was super, super stiff competition there. I mean,
it's the best in the world.
I know. I mean, I'm just saying, but to be able to go out there at his age, as long as he's been doing this and still just pretty much take everybody to the woodshed. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Absolutely.
So good on you, George. Good on you, buddy.
Hats off to the man. And I know you're dying to speak of the tournament that we shot this past weekend. And
not dying. Cause I had a little bit of a bump in my schedule. Last four stations kind of ate me up, and then I had that one bad station on one, so.
Well, this just goes to show, you know, I brought it up in the last podcast or so about, you know, David finding the eyesight problem and gun fit and all that, and Chad working on it, but it shows how long it takes to implement those changes.
Well, and you did shoot better. I mean, I will say that. You looked a lot more smooth, a lot more fluid.
But you see what I'm saying, though. I mean, it's whenever you go to learn a new technique or you get a new pair of glasses if you're a prescription or you have eye surgery or a new gun fit or anything, it takes a while
to
adjust to that change.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, me on top of adjusting to a new change, I'm trying to learn all the new things that Chad's put me through with training and stuff. And it takes time.
Yeah, just keep working at it, man. That's all you can do.
You know, so.
But I got no excuses other than just my head wasn't in the right place. So.
Yeah. So, hey, listen, we've got some double whammies here tonight. First off, we got Bobby Brooks coming on. He's going to talk about the Indiana State shoot. Mm-hmm. And like I said, double whammy, Bobby is also a huge Rhino Chokes advocate. So instead of doing like an all-out segment, we're just going to go right into it with Bobby when he's done with the Indiana State. And then afterwards, we have Miss Tina Jewell coming on. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a good podcast. Instead of you sitting here flapping your gums the whole time, why don't I just go ahead and get Bobby on the phone?
Why don't you do that? It's a good idea.
I'm glad I thought of it. All right, on the phone with us from New Albany, Indiana, Bobby Brooks. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me on the show. What's going on?
Doing great, man. Hope everything's out there doing well in Indiana.
Oh, man, the weather's breaking and spring has sprung. And things are greening up, so we're happy to get some warmer, drier weather.
Isn't that amazing what it does for your psyche, just to see the things greening and the trees blooming and everything? I mean, get rid of that winter blahs.
Oh, it dang sure helps.
Well, Bobby, you know, we had you on for a podcast earlier, and you were telling us you got awarded the Indiana State shoot, which is why we're calling you. Man, tell us about this. When is the Indiana State going to be this year?
Man, we're super stoked about that. It's going to take place June 30th. It starts, and then July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So the 4th is on a Monday, so that gives everybody a travel day or a day off, you know.
Right.
So 4th of July weekend, July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. man, we're just super excited about it. It's our, you know, our first time hosting a state shoot or a big blast to that event. And we're looking forward to it. We got a lot of involvement with the community and Caesars, Southern Indiana, the casino right down the roads, you know, getting involved and going to help out. And, I hope my intentions are, it's the best Indiana state shoot ever.
Awesome.
Gotcha.
So you're just west of Louisville. Did I say that right?
Yeah, actually we could see downtown Louisville from our club. So we're literally 10, 12 minutes outside of downtown Louisville.
All right, Bobby, just to remind everybody, can you give everybody the address of your club just in case they're listening here and want to find out more, and also maybe a website where they can go and check out where to sign up? Or actually, is the sign up on your website?
It's on Score Chaser.
It's on Score Chaser.
Sign up for the state shoots on Score Chaser.
Okay.
But the physical address to our club is 4939 State Road 111.
Okay.
New Albany, Indiana, 47150. And you can get that on our website at thefarmsc.com. That's the Farm SC, as in sporting clays.
All right. And for people that have never been to your club before, I'm just going to ask us, are you guys going to have the usual type stuff, cart rentals? Are you going to have ammo for sale? If somebody's traveling in from out of town, do they need to bring anything extra, or what can you tell them about that?
We want everybody, when you register on Score Chaser, you can check the box if you need a cart. That's very, very important. We'll have a handful of extra carts, but we really need everybody to check the box when you register on Score Chaser to if you need a cart. So we will have carts available. And what else was it?
Ammo.
Ammo, absolutely. I will have plenty of ammo. So
good deal.
I have RC ammo and RC and ammo has been good to me. They saved us actually as a club, because I haven't really been able to get ammo anywhere else, you know, through all this madness the last couple of years, and RC has just continued to support that. And because we're a new club, and we, man, I'll be loyal to RC ammo, but they're gonna be our sponsor, our ammo sponsor, and help us out in a big way as well. So
good.
We'll have RC ammo and White Flyer targets and Caesar Southern Indiana. So, and several more that we'll mention, you know, in the advertisements and on, we got superstar Bill McGuire target set.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yep. That's awesome.
It is.
So Bobby, I take it you're going to have all the usuals, you know, you're going to have probably a prelim, right? The main,
we are
super sporting. You're going to do a super sporting.
Yep. Super sporting, true pair. All the sub gauge events, okay. But we'll have a Thursday, Friday, we'll have a sub gauge fee task And then Saturday, Sunday, we'll have the main event fee task. Okay. So it'll be two parkours on each of those days. And then, all the side games, we'll have make or break set up and a couple five stands. And we'll have two separate courses to shoot the main event on. So you won't shoot the same course both days.
Now, what about dinners and stuff, Bobby? Are you guys going to do a dinner Saturday night?
Saturday night, yes, sir. We'll host a dinner and have some live music. And for those that are registered plus one, it's a free dinner to the shooters. So, and we have a great friend here in town called his name's Ellis Taylor, and they got a company called Taylor's Cajun Meats. But they do great food, and they're great friends of ours. Taylor Cajun Meats will be providing for that dinner.
Awesome. Now, I know as far as lodging goes, you can't beat it that you got a casino less than a mile down the road. But I think you told me on the podcast we did with you a while back, there's how many rooms available in Louisville? Can you tell me that number again? Because
that's
huge.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's huge. And but there are 80,000 hotel rooms within 30 minutes of here.
That's like freaking Vegas or something. Right. Man. Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like I said, the casino's right down the road.
Right.
So even if your wife doesn't want to come to shoot with you, you can drop her off at the casino.
Oh, boy.
Sure. Plus, downtown Louisville's great. Downtown's got a Louisville's got a lot to offer. New Albany, Indiana's got a lot to offer. Great restaurants, nightlife.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun. It's a great area.
It's been a few years. I went down there with some buddies and did the Bourbon Trail thing. We stayed in Louisville, and it is a good town. It's a happening town. There's a lot of great places to eat there, too. I can vouch for that.
It is. It is 4th Street Live, downtown Louisville. It's good.
What about vendors at the shoot? You going to have like a lot of the usuals there?
Well, I'm going to have Rhino. Rhino's bringing their truck and trailer to do, porting, gunsmithing and what they do with the chokes.
Oh, nice.
So, we'll have Bear Pelt Vest and, let me think. Ranger, Sarah's sending some stuff. RE Ranger's sending some stuff out, for we'll give away maybe some glasses and some stuff, but Ranger's going to sponsor us and help out as well. So they've been very supportive of me over the years and they are great to work with. So we love Ranger glasses.
Yeah. Sarah's awesome. I mean, Sarah and Max are directly who we deal with here on the podcast, and they've just been so cool to work with. They really have.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Speaking of that, Bobby, I mean, Sean, did you have any other questions about the Indiana State?
I was actually just going to ask him real quick, what about like any raffles or door prizes, stuff like that you might be giving away or raffling off at the event?
There will be. There'll be some. Actually, I know of the ammo. There'll be door prizes and shoot-offs for ammo. I think the ISCA, the Indiana board, might have some tricks up their sleeves about, things that they're going to do for door prizes and such.
Cool.
Very cool.
Cool.
What's one last question about the Indiana State, Bobby? What's the payouts going to be like?
Oh, you're going to catch me on the spot right now. I'm out in the field and I don't have that stuff in front of me, but I can dang sure send it to you.
Okay.
And I'm working on it. I'm working on it to be better and better than it's ever been. So we're working on some new sponsors. I'm embarrassed to say, but I'll have to get you that information.
That's okay.
I'm out in the field right now.
No, we can actually post that on our Dead Pair page on the Facebook page there. And that way people want to check it out. They can.
Well, not only that, but in the bottom of this podcast description, anybody listening to this driving down the roads thinking, oh man, I got to pull over and write this down. No, you don't. Because in our podcast description, we're going to put both the link to Bobby's website. We'll put the address to the shoot, and we'll probably put the phone number to the club also right in the podcast description. So anybody looking for more information can find Bobby real easy. Yep. So
yes, man, that's great. Thank you all.
Hey, no problem. So, hey, listen, I started to say, what about Rhino? So, Bobby, you're a big advocate of Rhino chokes. You really love you some Rhino chokes. How can you tell us how that came to be? How did you get introduced to Rhino?
You know, I met them through, I was actually at SCTP junior shoot or the national shoot and met them. And then I saw my daughter was in a little pickle and she needed something. And I went over and got a Rhino choke. I bought it. So she did that. And then another little kid was with me, wanted his gun ported. So we got that done. And because they were on site. And so in conversation, we started talking about the youth programs and how we were, big supporters and how, everything I do really. That's my why. I love coaching the kids and I love helping the SCTP programs. And I like to work with somebody that I get to see and shake hands with and plan on, seeing them when they attend other events.
Right.
And they got their truck out on the road. And that's really primarily the reason, I switched over to Rhinos because I get to see them everywhere and my kids get to meet them and they get to participate. They're always there on site, at big NSCA shoots, at big SCTP shoots. And so I really like to do business with, people that I get to meet and visit with and shake hands and look them in the eye. If there's a problem, we can take care of it. And if we're all happy, then it's all good. So
right.
I just like working with people that are on site.
No.
And Scott and those guys and Jody, and I mean, man, you can't ask for better guys.
That's
as far as just genuinely, you know, great guys and accommodating, and you know, they'll give you the shirt off their back. If they can help you, they will. And you know, those are just great guys.
Yeah, that's been our experience as well. I mean, those guys are top notch. Jody and Scott both are just super, super nice guys, and they know their stuff on top of everything else. But you know, we saw them at the Nationals, and man, they were super busy at that trailer doing all the porting work and selling chokes, and man, they were killing it. So, I mean, a lot of people have been definitely hitting them up more and more. And then we released that video showing my gun getting the porting work done before and after. And I think that helped a lot of people make up their minds on whether or not the porting was going to be worth it for them or not. So, yeah.
And you know what?
They're good people.
You said it. They are. And you said it best. I mean, it's just like they were so busy. They are backed up. They are busy, busy, busy. But you know what? Every time, even though they're that busy, they always take time to act like you're the only guy in the room.
Absolutely.
And you get their undivided attention, and they mean what they say. And they're great.
Well, and the other thing I was going to say is, too, you know, you never know who you might see cruising by one of their booths. I mean, we ran into Corey Cruz. We ran into Brad Kidd. Who else do we see there at the Rhino booth, Jason?
Who didn't we see there?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, it just seemed like everybody at some point or another was popping in and saying hi to those guys. So
Bobby, and not to mention the product, you know. I mean, we were talking about how great the guys are there, and everybody's great. But you know what? I really put their chokes to the test, and I really love them. They're as good as anything I've ever shot. And they, you know, from then I like what they did with the in-between, you know, restrictions as the 7 and the 17 and the 22. That's just kind of a unique spin on it. That's something nobody else has. And it's pretty cool. So, I had a customer that bought some, Rhino chokes from me the other day, and this old guy's out there, and he comes in, shoots about every week, and He bought two 17s and two 7s, and he's an older guy that gets around by himself a little bit. And he's like, you know what? He said, and I was testing those chokes just like you said. And he said, I was shooting the advanced course and shooting some long, far targets. And he said, lo and behold, I had that old blue choke in there, that number 7. He said, and the whole time I thought I was shooting the 17.
Yeah, and, that 7 will surprise you, man, how far so that thing will reach out
said,
there and hit
stuff. He said, I was really shocked that 7 was breaking all them advanced targets out there that you had set on the course. And I laughed, and I said, well, you know what? I'm really happy that happened to you. That was a good testimony.
Yeah. Well, Bobby, I know you run the Rhino Elites in your gun, in your Blazer, but did you get, I can't remember, did you port your Blazer?
Yes, it is ported.
Okay. Yeah. That was eye-opening to me when I had my gun ported with the Rhino porting. But being a club owner and a coach, so you recommend Rhino quite often to your clients. It wasn't just, you know, this one time with this old guy here. You recommend them quite often, don't you?
Oh, a lot. A lot. You know, all my SCTP kids have them, and they like those colored chokes sticking out the end of their barrel. Some don't, you know, some wants a black one or a silver one, but you know, you get what you want, but you know, and a lot of my customers, you know, whoever buys shotguns in here, they put them to the test. And the cool thing about it is I have some chokes that I can just hand them and say, hey, go try them out.
Right.
You tell me.
Right.
So that's the great thing. I don't have to be a salesman, and I don't have to be convincing. I'm just like, look, you probably know more about it than me. You go shoot them. You tell me what you think.
Right.
You know what? Every time they come back in so far, they've said, hey, order me some of them.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, like you were saying about that 7 choke, that blue choke, man, that is surprising. Me and Jason both are shocked at how far out that thing will reach and bust clays, man. It is really surprising.
It is. Well, I like those 17s, man. I leave them 17s in my gun and just let it go. I've always been a light mod kind of guy, and I like them, you know. And them 17s, I got a lot of confidence in them, near or far, and I just let it eat. It's a lot of fun, and leave them screwed in. But you know, for those that do want to change chokes on something, but open it up with those 7s, man. They hit them just as hard.
Oh yeah. Well, you stole my question. I was going to ask what your go-to was. That's what Sean and I have ended up doing is, I mean, we just shot a tournament this past weekend. Neither one of us changed chokes. We left the 17s in all the way around. Yep. So, and we had stuff that was 10 yards and stuff. Well, I think that teal, remember I hit it with my rangefinder and that trap was sitting at 52 yards and it was not coming in. It was going away. So, you know, how far away is your break point on that? And again, the 17s just
ate it up.
Just whacked them.
Hey, so. You'll be able to answer this better than me, but I shot at the Eagle's Nest up there next to y'all for the first time a couple weeks ago. And that guy said some great targets there. And man, I'm telling you what, they were about as far as targets as I've ever shot.
Oh, did you shoot some of Dan's fee task?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, here's the surprising thing about that.
Dan's a great target setter.
Yes, he is. Now, here's the surprising thing about that. Nothing that you're going to shoot right there, I don't think. Now, Dan might call me a liar, but I don't think there's anything right there that's beyond 65 yards, but he makes it look like that thing's 80 yards. Oh, yeah.
Looks like it's 10 miles away.
But, yeah.
Oh, man, you're crazy. I thought I shot something 200 yards away. That's what I've been telling everybody.
Well, that's good. Well, that's your story. You tell it the way you want. So,
I'll tell you what, Bobby, for a drink, I'll edit that part out.
So, you bet. You're on.
All right, man. Well, listen, Bobby, is there any closing thoughts, buddy? Anything you want to get out there that maybe we didn't cover?
No, do you know? Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I want to invite everybody out to the Indiana State Shoot, and I don't want it to be overlooked this year. I want it to be something that people put on their calendar, all the surrounding states. I mean, I know we got some good friends coming from Tennessee and Ohio, Kentucky, of course. And, man, I just want to invite everybody out there that's willing to travel a little bit. But, you know, Bill's not setting a lot of targets these days, and he does a great job. So to come shoot some of Bill's targets is great, you know, and to work with, you know, our registration should be flawless, working with Score Chaser and those guys, you know. Joey Wright's helping me with that registration there, so he's a pro at what he does. I'm just surrounding myself with great people that are bigger, better, stronger, faster, and smarter. And hopefully we can get it pulled off. But I want to invite everybody to just come to the state shoot this year here in Indiana and don't overlook it, because it's going to be the best state shoot ever, hopefully.
Well, it's a very beautiful club, and I can testify that myself when I was down there last time. And I'm anxious to see what you've done with the place since I was there. So I think everybody's in
24/7.
I think everybody's in for a treat.
Yeah,
I really do.
Well, we wish you the very best of the luck at the state shoot, and hopefully this will get a lot of more people signed up and headed your way.
Yes, sir. Well, I can't thank y'all enough, and y'all are always fun to visit with and have down to shoot with. So I look forward to having you guys back.
Cool.
Thanks, Bobby. We appreciate it, sir.
You too. Thank you all, and y'all have a great night.
You too. See you, Bobby.
See you.
All right, guys, hold on just a second. We're going to give a call to Tina Jewell. All right, joining us on the phone right now, Tina Jewell. Tina, how you doing this evening, dear?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Tina, for our listeners, can you kind of give us a little background, who you are, where you're from, what class you shoot, and a little bit about your experience?
Well,
Take your time.
Well, I started way back in the 19s. 1991 is when I actually started. Started out slow, started shooting trap, started shooting skeet, and then went into sporting clays about 92. And I've been shooting ever since.
Well, Tina, we know that you and your husband, Tim, have been competing for obviously several years, like you say, but let's go back to that beginning. What got you started specifically in sporting clays?
Well, I hate to bring him up, but my ex-husband actually got me started. He was a trap shooter, kind of wanted us to do something together. So he taught me how to shoot skeet, little hand trap in the backyard, started off then. After about 6 months, he said, now that you've kind of started shooting skeet, I would like for you to learn how to shoot trap for elevation. And then about 93, he took me to a range in, I can't even remember the name of it, in Indiana. and started shooting sporting clays then, and watching all the targets come from different directions, I knew that that was the sport that I wanted to play. So I've been at it ever since then.
So was that immediate that you wanted to start competing in it, or did that kind of come later?
Actually, I wanted to compete in it because it kind of just, it was very interesting to watch the targets come from different directions. I got a really slow start, didn't know anything about eye dominance, didn't know anything about which shoulder it was supposed to go in. I put it in my right shoulder because that's the way all the men did it. And about 5 years down the road, they told me that I was left eye dominant, and I was very stubborn and refused to change shoulders. So I had eye issues, but kept playing the game just the way it was. Just learned how to shoot being left eye dominant, shooting right handed.
So you're, wow, really? That's yeah. Fascinating. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's really scary. You look down the gun with me. It's not a pretty sight.
Well, we know a few people that struggle with that whole eye dominance thing. So that's, I mean, good on you to be able to stick with it and go.
Yeah.
I mean, a former coach of ours, Bill Elliott, he actually made the complete transition from a right-handed shooter to a left-handed shooter because he is left eye dominant. I can't imagine the work that has to go in to make that happen.
Well, what is the funny part is if you are left eye dominant and you shoot right-handed, you have a built-in lead from the right to left target, but the left to right coming from the left, you have to build in lead yourself because the gun does not go down the center of my nose. It actually goes just off the side of my eye. It's not down a pupil at all. I have changed a little bit just in the last 8 months because my nationals was absolutely horrible. I kept seeing ghost targets, seeing lead that wasn't there. And so between Bill McGuire and Tim Jewell, they've got me to where I am only wearing one contact in the right eye. And now the right eye is actually seeing what I need to see, and I'm not getting the flash of the ghost targets anymore. So right now I'm kind of like in the middle of trying to learn what I need to see just with the right eye because I can't see out of the left eye anymore. So.
Wow.
Well, Tina, you said you've shot sporting, you've shot skeet, you've shot some trap. I'm assuming you've probably shot, you know, feed task, five stand. Have you done any AFS yet?
I have not done that yet.
Okay. Out of all those, what's your favorite discipline to shoot?
Honestly, I love the five stand.
Really? Okay.
And I enjoy feed task. Sporting is probably my third. If my husband told me I had to pick, it probably would lean more towards feed task because I do enjoy it. But I'm better at five stand than I am probably feed task.
Okay.
Wow. Very cool. So you kind of stole my question. I was going to ask, what are some of the challenges you face progressing in the sport? But the eye dominance thing, that, wow, that's definitely a big one. Is there anything else that was kind of like a big challenge to you coming up?
Not really. I just enjoy the sport. I enjoy the company. It seems like living in Kentucky, we have a dead spot from after October till about March because it's cold. I'm not a cold weather shooter. So I usually take that time off not shooting. We have the range that we practice with here at Rangers. Tim always sets some very challenging targets. So my weakness is probably the 30 yards and in, and that's really what I got to work with the most because he throws the ones that are 30 to 50 yards. So I've learned the far part. It's the close part that I'm struggling with the most.
Gotcha. Well, let me ask you this, as a lady shooter and really interested in your opinion on this, do you feel there's any advantages or disadvantages for lady shooters that are competing against the men as a whole group? Or do you feel that it's a fairly level playing field?
Oh, no. No, there's not a fair playing field. When you take a woman and a man, most of the men in this sport, the good men, they don't have jobs. Their job is shooting. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. A woman, if she has children, she's still raising her children. She's still got to take care of the home. She's still got to take care of the groceries, still got to take care of the man. So we have more on our shoulders than what the men do, in my opinion. Now, men may say feel differently about it, but no. My husband gets in the car and goes. He doesn't know what's in the suitcase. He doesn't know what's in the fridge, and you don't know where he's eating that night unless I tell him. So it's pretty easy. They don't worry about anything except shooting.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
But my husband's over here laughing at me right now.
Yeah, he's probably going to just sit back and be quiet, I'm sure. As far as competition goes, like when you're actually out there competing, do you see any advantages or disadvantages from a woman to a man?
Yeah. I mean, in 30 years, I've not seen a woman come close to beating the men at the nationals. I'm just going to use that for the example. It doesn't take upper body strength. It takes the mental part of it. And I'm not saying the women today that is starting, but they're also, you know, 16, 18 year old kids, they still have no worries. They're not worrying about who's making their house payment or who's making their car payment, because usually mommy and daddy's still paying their payments. Mm-hmm. When they get to 25 years old and 30, you're going to see those women gone. I mean, like I said, I've seen a lot of women come and go. They don't last in the sport because they have to raise their children. They got to start all over again.
Sure.
So that's just my opinion. Is there going to be a lady national champion one day? Probably. And it could be happening in the next couple of years. I mean, Karen Shedd and Shelby Moon and Madison Sharp, they're sharp ladies. They're good. They got it. They just got that little bit more to push and they'll have it.
Gotcha.
For sure. I would definitely agree with that. As somebody that's competed in this sport for well over 25 years, what would you say the biggest changes have been since you got started in the sport itself?
Probably the targets. They've been hard. They've been easy. We're back to where I think they're a little bit harder again.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Well, and they almost kind of have to be, because there's just a huge amount of talent coming up from the younger ranks.
Oh, huge, huge. These kids are so tough. I mean, they're excellent. They started out as 10, 12 year old kids shooting with grandpa or daddy. And, you know, they're way ahead of the game. When I started at 29 years old, I didn't know where I was coming. You know, I didn't know what was happening. These kids are learning the right way very early.
Well,
I just hope they don't get burnt out.
I would also say to credit what you're talking about too, is instruction was not available back then as like it is now.
You know what I mean? No.
There was no.
Yeah, there wasn't.
There was maybe one or two coaches around back then. I mean, nationally.
I think Dan Carlisle was one of the ones that you could get way back when. Other than that, you had someone that maybe was a, and back then there wasn't even a master class when I started. You had a AA shooter that knew how to put the shells in the gun, and he said he would coach you. You know, he didn't really know what he was doing either.
So all this competing you've done over the years, do you have a favorite event or tournament that you go to each year?
Oh, it's the Nationals.
Really? Okay.
Yes. That's one of my favorites. Like I said, being in Kentucky, we didn't have a lot of shoots around our area. If you were real, you know, we started off just going to state shoots and zone shoots. And then when the zones went away, you kind of went to your neighboring states to shoot. But now that I've been in it long enough, you know, I like going to the regionals. I enjoy it. Arizona's a little far from me, but I can go to Florida and Texas. So I enjoy the Texas shoots the most.
Gotcha. And Tina, you've got a pretty good list of accomplishments. I mean, over your career, is there one that stands out to you or maybe means the most to you?
I'm probably going to say the first time I made Team USA. That was the biggest accomplishment. I won way back when it was just making All-American. Well, after you get so many patches of them, it's just kind of, it still means a lot. I don't mean that, but Team USA meant you were one of the top. You were the best of the four, and you made it. So to me, I think Team USA was probably my biggest goal that I wanted to accomplish, and I did.
Got it. Now, again, you and your husband, your current husband, are owners of Rangers Gun Club in Kentucky.
Yes.
And obviously, I'm sure this has presented a whole new list of challenges for you, especially now recently with the economy, the shortage of shotgun shells, the rising prices. I mean, what other struggles as club owners and managers are you guys faced with these days?
We have a very small club. Our locals have dropped a lot. You know, you can't charge $80-$90 for a flat of shells, and then they come out to shoot for $35-$40, you know, every weekend. People have a hard time dropping, you know, $150 a weekend to play. Mm-hmm. We've lost some. Most of the people that come to our shoot are competition shooters. So they're prepared. They know they're, you know, we haven't lost them, but we, you know, the economy itself is pretty rough on everybody. The gun clubs are suffering all around. You know, like I said, charging $80 to $100 for a flat, it's hard for people to handle that.
Right. I mean, in your heart, does you feel like this is ever going to get any better, or are we going to just kind of be stuck here and going to have to adjust or just stop playing?
I think, unfortunately, once the gun clubs and the shell companies know that they can get this price, they're going to stay with it. I don't see it going down.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you're right.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, go ahead, Tina. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just that in general. Once a club knows that they can charge $60 a hundred and charge $120 for a flat of shells, they're going to stay with it. They're going to continue. Even if it breaks a little, they may drop a little, but not a lot.
So now, Tina, you coach regularly at your club. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes.
So do you have any students that are full-time with you, or is it pretty much you're just, you know, working with people that are new off the streets learning the game?
Well, unfortunately, my husband gives me the ones that haven't started shooting. He lets me teach them to make sure they load the gun, the safety. And then once they learn how to break targets, then they go to him and then he finishes them off. He's over here laughing at me. It's true. He gives me the bad ones and he takes the good ones.
Well, you're going to have to snag one of them and say, now you stay with me on this.
Well, since you kind of focus with the new shooters, Tina, what is it that you see are some of the biggest things that people need to learn when they get into this sport? I know there's probably a big list, but probably just a couple.
No, gun safety is one of the most. You have to be careful with this. You got to make them have fun. They have to enjoy it. You know, a new shooter would not have enjoyed the Nash or going to the World English. They would not have had any fun in the wind. I've seen a lot of scores that were low. That does not make a competitor want to come back and shoot. You just have to make the shooters enjoy the game. They have to have fun. They have to enjoy what they're doing or they won't come back. Especially for the price, they won't come back for that.
Yeah, that's well said.
Well, you know, and as being a coach, I guess, versus being a shooter, I mean, that's got to be a totally different mindset for you, right? Because you really got to change gears there.
Yeah, you got to be positive with them. You got to, you know, when they shoot at a target 10 times and they don't hit them, you got to encourage them. And, you know, you got to ask them what they're looking at, you know, come and see this. It can be aggravating because I hate when someone doesn't hit something, they don't feel good about themselves. And you got to just keep encouraging them to keep trying. It's, you know, it'll come to them. It's hard.
Time in the saddle really is the best teacher in this sport. Also, having a great coach is probably the only shortcut, as me and Jason keep saying over and over and over again. But you know, you can either spend a lot of money on shells and targets learning yourself, or you can spend a little bit of money on a coach and maybe lessen that experience up to a little less costly.
Yeah, but you know, and Tina, I'm looking for you to kind of back me up here a little bit. I don't think this is a game where you can ever stop learning. I mean,
no, you never stop learning.
Right. I mean, it's as simple as a small gun fit change, you know, or maybe a new technique or, you know, a new set of glasses or anything. You know, I'm going through this right now, so I'm speaking from experience, but it's, you know, a whole new learning stage again, right?
Every year it changes. Every year something changes. I, you know, way back when we were swing through shooters, we didn't know what maintain was. You know, when Tim got with me, he's like, you're coming from behind. He taught me how to shoot more in front, you know, get that maintain lead. I have my own little tricks that I play, and I don't even know how to explain some of the stuff, how to get to the targets I get to, because I call it pass through. Sometimes I'll come right up to the target and then I'll give it that little bump at the end to give it and try to explain that to somebody. You can't.
Right. Well, again, with your experience in this sport, what, in your opinion, especially with the struggles we have nowadays with economy, what, in your opinion, is the best way to grow this sport? You know, how can we make it better? How can we get more people introduced to the sport?
Oh, wow.
That's a deep one. I know.
Well, it's trying to keep them because we have corporate shoots. You have people that come out that have, they enjoy it. They love it, but somebody else is paying that bill. And when the corporate people come out and you have 50, 60 people here, they just bring their gun and the corporation pays for the bullets, pays for the shooting. They enjoy it. They love it. They want to come back. Well, you won't see them again until the following year when the corporation's paying it again. So I don't know how you keep them because you know they love it. And then when they see you out, they, oh, I had so much fun. I can't wait to come back and do it again. And I always say, come back. We're open every weekend. Oh, I can't afford it. So I don't know how to keep, the sport growing. It's a question I think everybody wants to know. And I don't think anyone has the answer for that.
Gotcha. Well, and I mean, obviously there's a big difference between like what we'll call the weekend warrior guys that go out to their club and they're just shooting their local targets. And then I guess your next step up from there is to actually, become registered with the NSCA. And then you start actually doing registered tournaments and then all the way up to, the people that actually travel the circuits and they go to the big blast, they go to the nationals, they go to the regionals. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of different levels of participation all across the board. Right. So,
yes.
It really just depends on, I guess, how hard you get bit by the bug, so to speak.
Oh, I was bit a long time ago, unfortunately.
Jason, me too. I mean, we love it, and we have a lot of friends that shoot with us, and we've met so many great people since we got started in this, and, I wouldn't trade it for the world. But, yes, I can see where it costs. I mean, you look at a tournament, and you say, I'm going to spend, $75-$85 to go shoot a tournament at my local club, plus the cost of shells, plus fuel, plus whatever else is involved with that. I mean, it's expensive. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, I guess, is it any cheaper owning a bass boat? Is it any cheaper owning a set of golf clubs? Is it any cheaper,
Well,
depends on how good you are with the golf clubs, Jason.
If you want to just be a weekend shooter, you're not going to spend a lot of money because you've already purchased your gun. If you've got your glasses, you got your ear protection. You're just spending the entry fee to shoot that week. But if you shoot 200 rounds, you've already, you spent your $100 bill. Now you got to go back home. You may not come back, the next day, but you may come back the next week. But when you start totaling it all up, how much money have I wasted blowing out the end of a shotgun? Yeah. And your average person that makes, $50,000-$60,000 a year, they can't do that. Right. This is not a sport for someone that is trying to raise a family and living on $60,000-$70,000 a year. It's it ain't going to happen.
Makes it tough. That's for sure.
Well, and Anthony, we had him on the podcast here a couple months ago. He said it best. Mm-hmm. He's like, how many of your buddies that that are golfers compete in golfing? It's okay if a person doesn't want to compete. I think it takes an A-type personality that wants to go compete every weekend. But then when they do and they start to think this is expensive, all they got to do is look into racing and see how cheap this is.
Right.
I mean, comparatively to other sports, it is cheaper. Yeah. I mean, some sports may be more expensive.
But again, I think competing at anything, whether it's a bass tournament, whether you're racing motocross, whether you're racing drag racing cars, there's a million ways to spend money on a hobby. Let's be honest. Yeah.
It's all serious. You take it, but back to the whole question at hand that I had with Tina was, how to grow it. And I think to your point, Tina, I think it's kind of a slippery slope. You got to find that individual that wants to compete in something in order to really snag them. Am I right?
Yeah. Well, because I'm a lady and I turn around and I talk to other ladies when they have, if they're by themselves, they don't really have the issue that much, but women are afraid to compete against each other. And this year me and Diane got together and we managed to get the NSCA to bring on ladies vet. This is now going to be a new category in the regionals and the nationals. So if you're 55 and over, women can still compete with a different category. They're not competing against the Karen Sheds and the Madison Sharps and the kids that are excellent. Right. We still have a chance.
That's awesome.
And so I'm hoping this year there'll be more women that are 55 and older that will come out and know that they can still shoot. They can, they have a category that they can play in. They don't have to be, you know, they can be a C class shooter and they can still qualify to shoot in a veterans class. And they're not going against Bill McGuire or Tim Jewell. Because right. I hated that when I found out Tim come back up there in veterans. It's like, well, there goes that. Now I'm competing against Wendell and Bill and Tim. I go right back down to the veterans class.
Right. That's awesome, though, that you guys made that happen. Now, that's really cool. Well, Tina, I don't know how often you catch our show, but we do this thing called rapid fire questions. Would you like to do those with us real quick?
Oh, my. Is this going to be bad?
Oh, no.
No.
All right, let's go.
Sounds worse than it is.
All right. Gun, what make and model do you shoot?
I shoot a Blauser F3 Baron Deluxe.
Factory or custom stock?
It's regular stock right out of the box.
Gotcha. What barrel length?
32.
Is it ported?
No. I have an ISIS recoil reducer on it, though.
Okay. Screw in or fixed choke?
Screw in chokes. What? They're Briley makes them, but they're Blauser titanium.
Okay. What's your go-to constriction, or do you change pretty often?
I am mainly mod, unless I see a rabbit and I'll screw in a skeet.
Okay. What shells do you shoot?
I shoot Rios. 13, 15, 1 ounce, 7.5. That's all that goes in my gun.
7.5. All right. Vest or shell bag?
I use a vest.
What brand?
Castellani.
Glasses?
RE Rangers. And I'm wearing right now the new React lenses, which is fantastic.
Yes, awesome. They are.
hearing protection.
ESP earplugs.
Gotcha. All right. Now we've started doing something new called What's in Your Bag. This is something you may carry with you that some people might find odd or different. You know, there's no right or wrong answer here. It could be a lucky rabbit's foot or eye drops or whatever it is in your bag. What's in your bag? What do you carry with you that some people might not expect?
I wear tape on my finger.
Do you really?
And I have to have the tape. Awesome. I won't even shoot my shotgun with it. Okay. I slap my trigger. I do not pull my trigger, so the trigger will come back and bite me. So you will always see tape on my finger.
Wow, really?
And I always carry my step stool.
Your step stool? Never
I'm
heard that
5'1". I can't see over a lot of cages and a lot of stuff, so I'm standing on a little 4-inch step stool sometimes.
No kidding. Okay.
Well, that's pretty cool.
That's interesting.
Sean?
All right. Let's see here. So we've covered the rapid fire. We've covered what's in her bag.
Sponsors.
Yeah. Is there anybody you want to thank? Anybody you want to reach out to and mention here?
Well, I have to, first of all, thank Blauser for the shotgun, because if it wasn't for them, I probably would have gave up a long time ago. And Rio Ammunition, you know, I've shot them. I shot them when they were green. And so I've been shooting them 20 years plus, probably.
Wow.
And RE Rangers for the eyes.
That's awesome. Now, Tina, if anybody wants to come down and see you and Tim, can you give a little information about your club?
Just a small club. It's got 12 stations. Be ready to bring your A game, because they're not easy targets. and it's located in Calhoun, Kentucky.
Okay. Do you guys have a website or anything? Or
yes, we do. It's under Rangers Gun Club, Calhoun, Kentucky, in 42327.
Now, if somebody wants a lesson with either yourself or Tim, can they find any information on your website or?
Yes. Yeah. It's on the webpage.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll make sure and put all that links and everything down in our podcast description.
Well, Tina, okay. Is there any closing thoughts, anything we've missed, anything that you want to talk about that you want to get out to our listeners?
Not really. I think you've covered it all. I just enjoy the sport and I hope everybody enjoys it as much as I do.
Yeah. I think most of us that are hooked, we do.
Once you're hooked, you're hooked.
Yeah, it's what we look forward to, and it's what we have fun doing.
Yep.
Well, Tina, thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing you out on the tour, and best of luck to you and Tim in the 2022 season.
Thank you.
Great talking to you, Tina. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
Boy, Tina's a character, isn't she, Sean?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, hey, listen, folks, real quick, we're going to do a Negrini segment. I think you guys are going to like this one, and we'll be right back.
Okay, joining us on the phone for this Negrini segment is Jim Cooper. Jim, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing great.
Now, Jim, for our listeners out there, you are a trap coach, and I think you hail from Arkansas. Is that correct?
That's correct. I'm started out as a coach and moved on into private instruction just for trap.
Gotcha.
Jim, how long have you been shooting?
Personally, I've been shooting most of my life. I got very active back in 2011 in the Arkansas Youth Shooting Sports Program. There's about 6,000 kids in Arkansas that shoot, and my son got involved in that. So I kind of revisited that and got involved in that, started shooting at a state level and then a national level, and been shooting pretty active ever since.
Gotcha. Awesome. Well, with this being about Negrini cases, can you tell us what your decision was to choose Negrini cases?
Yeah, absolutely. I did a lot of research, and I travel. Guns is firearms in general, pretty expensive. I believe they're the gold standard of high quality. Another thing that attracted me was the custom fit. And then once I got to know the distribution staff here in Arkansas, they really cared about my firearms, and again, the custom fit was the final sale for me.
Gotcha. So Jim, would you say you travel quite a bit with your case?
Oh yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah,
I shoot a Craig Off K80 and Trap Special, and travel a lot, and it protects my gun.
Okay. And have you had any issues or problems with the case since you're using it so much?
No, not at all.
Okay. Do you have any like favorite features on it that stick out to you more than others?
When I was doing the research, other than just the quality, I like the recessed hinges. It's so durable, impact resistant, and it's a good looking case.
Okay. All right.
So here's something that we ask everyone on these segments is, you know, if you're talking to someone and they're on the fence about buying a case, because, you know, some of this stuff is expensive. What would you say to that person to persuade them to buy the case?
Probably the number one thing is the longevity of the investment. Mm-hmm. It's good value. Price is what you pay and value is what you get.
Right.
I think you're going to get a great warranty. I think you're going to get a great case. I don't think you're going to need the warranty, but if you do need the warranty, the folks that I've dealt with are just very customer service focused, and they want to do the right thing. And if it's a workmanship feature, then they'll fix it. And when you make those kind of purchases, you just you go back to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Jim, I'm going to just be devil's advocate one more time. And now, as much as you've traveled, and I know your case has held up well, has there ever been any kind of issues or damage to your gun while it was in the case? Because we know how rough TSA and all those guys can be at the airlines.
Yes. No, sir. No, I have the case that I've had, this particular case that I've had it 6 years, traveled extensively. I keep a protective case over it. Because it's a full leather case. Mm-hmm. I've never had any damage at all. I feel secure when it's locked. Been through several checkpoints with it. The locks are consistent. That's another big sell for me. And again, they're really protected because they're recessed, and you can run your hand down the case, or you can slide it on a baggage claim, and the hinges really never come in contact with a hard surface.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's actually very big. People don't realize that, you know.
The ding points, you know, the hinges and the latches and the handle and stuff like that, all of that has really been taken into consideration, and the way that they're designed and manufactured has kind of taken that out of the equation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gotcha.
Well, Jim, thank you very much. We appreciate your time, and you spoke very highly of Negrini. I'm sure they're going to be very happy to hear this. So, we definitely wish you the best in 2022 with your shooting. And like I said, thank you again for spending some time with us.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Have a great evening.
All right. See you.
Bye-bye. Well, another jam-packed show. Bobby Brooks talking about the Indiana State shoot.
Rhino Chokes.
Yep. And then Tina Jewel. I mean, hey, what a great person to talk to.
And then in the Greeny segment to wrap it all up.
Heck yeah. Getting your money's worth, people. Come on.
I don't think they paid us anything, Sean.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Damn, Christmas.
It's still a good value.
Anybody that's listening to you, you should be paying them.
Think so?
it's my excuse.
You can yeah. say whatever you want, man. Right. It's your story. Tell it what you want.
Oh, man. You know, good conversation there with Tina. I've been thinking a lot about that lately, and I think the best way, going back to part of the conversation we had about growing the sport, I still think the best way is grassroots. I think it's still, you know, we push it every week. Take someone new shooting, take mm-hmm. them to a tournament, and, you know, maybe people are getting a little tired of hearing us say that, but when you get your buddy out there and he starts smashing some clay targets, and next thing you know, the pings and the TaylorMades are getting sold for a new shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? We just hooked another one.
Right. And I mean, I completely understand and agree. I mean, with the way things are right now, prices are higher than they have been for quite some time. Ammo's hard to get. Clubs have been raising their prices on their targets because costs are going up. But at the same time, I mean, look, if you're going to have a hobby, again, I don't care if it's golfing or bass fishing, hunting, whatever. It's going to cost you money to do it.
Absolutely.
So I can't see this as being...
Well, let's put it in perspective. Everything's going up. Okay, it's not just our sport, right? I mean, it's not like the economy's doing great and everything else is cheap, but shotgun shells. That's not the
right
case. I mean, groceries are getting ridiculous.
Yeah, everything. I mean, it comes full circle. So for most people, I think you got to pick and choose what your hobbies are. You know, yeah. I would love to bass fish. I would love to hunt all the time. I'd love to shoot sporting clays all the time. And there's a lot of other things I like to do. But I've only got so much time. I've only got so much money. So I got to pick and choose the ones that I love. So if you love this sport, this is what you're going
to
do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, if you can't afford those big shoots, you know, by all means, support your local clubs.
Sure. Go out to the local clubs. But at the same time, I think if you are a good shooter or if you really love the sport as much as me and Jason do, do yourself a favor and plan maybe a mini vacation or something around one of these big blasts. You know, whether it's a regional or a state shoot or something like the Gator Cup or the Jack Lynx tournament. I mean, make it fun. Make it more than just the shoot.
You know, prime example, Indiana State. We just had Bobby on. I mean, look at all the sights and sounds that are around that area.
Oh, yeah. Louisville's happening, man. It's jumping.
Well, yeah. I mean, if the wife's not into shooting or maybe she's into shooting and you're not, whatever the scenario, there's a casino a mile down the road. And if you're not into that, you can go to the other direction into Louisville and you're 25 minutes away from everything you could possibly want.
Yeah, not to mention all the bourbon stuff on the bourbon trail.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, trust me, you go down to there and spend all week and never see all the distillers. Hey,
you know what? And Bobby didn't bring it up. But if you're not into shooting or your wife's not into shooting and you are, Bobby's got 4, 5, 6 spectacular ponds on that property that are stock full of fish.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Take the fishing pole and your shotgun.
Grab a pole. Kevin Michael would.
Yeah, you daggone right he would. I guarantee Bill McGuire is going to be doing that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, but now, everyone, think about what we're saying here. Don't let this economy get to your head. Don't start letting it put fear in you. Support your local clubs. I know money's tight. Plan your money a little bit better where you can still get out and do some shooting and take someone new shooting.
Yeah, do what you can.
Yeah.
Bottom line, do what you can.
And we want to say a very big thank you to both Negrini and Rhino sponsoring the show, as well as all of our other sponsors, Bear Pelt, Atlas, Odo Pro, RE Ranger, Game Board, White Flyer, and of course, our new sponsor, Folded Wing Apparel.
Right. Absolutely. Without those people, we couldn't keep bringing this to you day after day, week after week, because unfortunately, guys, it costs money. It takes time. And as much as we love to do this as a labor of love, it's not something that we want to keep pulling out of our pockets week after week. So, you know, we enjoy the help and we appreciate all the support from our sponsors.
Absolutely. Well, Sean Alley, until next week,
hope to see you all right back here on the Dead Pair Podcast.